Well, you're talking about being out of sync here. Seems like it's been a hot minute since I've been here. But y'all's been good to us. It's been good to our family. And it's a privilege and honor to come here tonight and talk about the remaining end of chapter 41. How many know we're going in the morning? We're gonna probably jump on 42. So don't jump out of your seats just yet. We got to finish 41. But this chapter has been amazing. Lots and lots of information. I went back today and listened to the message two Shabbats ago, because what we're going to do here tonight, I'm going to close it out, but we're going to do a little gleaning, stuff we already heard, but it was just some stuff we're going to just point out that ministered to me in my studies. So anyway, let's get started, because we say it all the time. There's so much to cover. There's always a lot. And it truly is. I mean, we're dealing with a big God. He is Elohim. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty. So this is no small subject. Whatever, every time we turn or get to turn the page, how many know it's just that much more to look at. So we get started here. We've been through so much. We learned so much. I'm gonna start at verse 51, and this is stuff that we looked at already. In Genesis 41, 51, how you know we're still in Miketz. We're still at the end or completion. And the end at the end is really something big we're going to look at here in just a moment. He said, but in verse 51, and Yaakov called the firstborn Menashe. I mean, we learned about Menashe a couple Shabbats ago. Very important. Even in our Midrash. You know, if you're not here for the Midrash, those who you can make it, you really shouldn't want to stay, because you miss a lot of valuable information. For Elohim has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now, we learned one thing. He never forgot his family, but the stuff he's been through. I mean, Yosef been through a lot. And we today, how's that relevant for us today? We're going to go through some stuff. We're not exempt. He said, in the name of the second, he called Ephraim. For Elohim has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You know, he was afflicted in a foreign land. And like I said, if y'all were here for these past couple of messages, this is just a slight recap. You know that Ephraim, very big subject. You know, to sit there and look at his name deals with 180 verses. So that's always something to talk about. You know, Menashe, we say Menashe in English. Menashe, 146 verses. So there's a lot to talk about these two brothers. But a lot of it is the history of from when they started. And that, you know, all through the scripture, it talks about them. So you got that's your private time. You go back and you read up on the history about these two brothers. They were something. You look at the land, the geography of them, where they settled down. And the land that was portioned of them. This all matters. This is all in scripture that we've covered before, but now we've really come to a spot in our lives where we slow down and we really starting to look how broad the picture is on these two brothers. But anyway, I'm not gonna sit here and talk about them a whole lot, because we're still in Yosef. Yosef's got an issue in his life, because there's a reason why he named these two boys the way he named them. One causing him to forget. And that is to be fruitful. But that was the issue that Yah had to deal with Yosef. That's why he let him have these two boys. He called me to forget. Can you imagine, after all these years, 13 years, looking at his son? I'm kind of shocked he only had two sons right off the back. Well, I tell you, after not having a wife and stuff all these years, probably he had four or five. But these two sons are very important. But I'm going to pull our text from Hebrews chapter 12. And this was something that was mentioned a couple of Shabbats ago. And we're going to get to it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, we too, then having so great a cloud of witness all around us. They were all around Yaakov. around Yosef. Because, look, we're dealing with the house of Yaakov here, so excuse me. But witnesses were all around Yosef. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. It says, looking to the prince and perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake. With joy? That seemed a little odd. But he knew that his reward was much greater. And the scripture tells us that. Having despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of Elohim. Look, even though we read about the beatings and what he went through, the scripture says it was a joy that he went through that, because here we are now, adopted into this covenant that was made long before, way before we were here, since the time of Abraham, that we get to be part of a family that we don't even know. But here we are today. But a question was asked a couple weeks ago about this weight. We know about the sin, but what about the weight? So I kind of want to, we're going to focus on that a little bit, but we're going to look at the sin too, because I just want to point something out. To me, I find this is very interesting. The weight right here is G3591. It's called Agkas. It's called a mass as bending or bulging by its load, i.e. burden, hindrance, weight. I mean, you know that in the English is what we see, but what about our spiritual guy, the spirit man inside of us? Is he weighted down because we think this is too much burden on us to come out here on a Friday night, you know, because it's cold, or because this morning we got a text earlier this morning that we didn't have no water? I put in a text, hey, if we got to carry buckets of water, the show must go on. Hallelujah. We're not going to shut down because we ain't got water, but hey, we got it fixed, so we in good shape. But this weight, let's look a little deeper into this weight, because it's burdensome. It's a load on. We know what weight is. And Yeshua carried a lot of weight, physically and spiritually. He endured it all. It's tied into a root, G43. It's called Akale. Akale is from Ankos, a bend, H, and arm as a curved arm. Now, to me, that when I was reading about the arm and the bent arm, the curved arm, that's telling me the strength that I can draw from the yod. I had to go look at that today. It says the curve or inner angle of the arm, the bent arm, anything closely enfolding as the arms of the sea, etc. And that was a scripture that's mentioned in Luke 2:28. When he talks about Yeshua picks them up, the little children. He had to bend that arm. How do you know we can draw strength from the Father? He's the one. He said, we look toward the hills, where comes our strength? He said, my strength comes from him. So I thought this was pretty beautiful. But we're gonna touch a little more on this weight. Let me go down to the sin. Let me tell you what the sin is. It's G266. It's called Hamartia. It's to be, we know what sin is, to be without a share in. And a share in what? In the covenant I just mentioned. Could you imagine all this time? We've been going through all this for a few years now, and in the end we would lose out? We really have to pay attention. It says to miss the mark, or to err, be mistaken. This is what sin does. And look, and we've all been in error. We've all been mistaken. This is why we go to the Word, because the Word shows us who we are. It shows us our faults. That's why Yaakov is just so important to read Yaakov. It comes from G264, Hamateno. Hamateno is the same definition as I just read previous to that. It also means to miss or wander from the path of uprightness and honor. What a travesty. To wander off the path. I'm so glad we had a shepherd that when we start wandering, he he had that lamed. You know why that lamed had that curve in that to catch them wandering sheep? Because we do wander. Look, my past couple Fridays of me working out of town, just traveling home at this time of the night. Let me tell you something. When you're away from the flock and you're kind of on your own, I have no one to rely on but him. He is my hope, even though I got to check on my wife constantly. Look, you feel like you want to drift some days because you're not around your brothers. You're not around your sisters. You're not around your family. I don't know about y'all to feel that way, but look, when I'm out there, you're alone, but you're not alone. You ever get that sense of that feeling? That's why it's so important to stay connected. Have someone to call to. Have somebody. Sometimes you might have to vent on it a little bit. Hey. I know. Look, me and my brother, baby, we vent on each other pretty much a little bit. So we're going to go through some things in life. We're not exempt. Just because we're on this path don't mean we're exempt. But we're learning. How many ways we're so glad we're learning. Man, I'm so thankful for him. It says to do or go wrong. That word right there, that homotano, is all connected to two more words, which I'm not going to get into, but I'm going to give you the strong. You can go do your own homework. It's G. Oh, I didn't even write the number down. G1, I'm sorry, G1. What G1 is? The word is alpha. Now, you know, in the Greek, we know who the alpha is. You know, Revelation tells us, but we know who's the alpha. I said, I'm getting dressed. I said, I'm going to be easy. I'm going to go slow. I ain't going to break a sweat. Yeah, okay. That's what pressure causes. Because we're about to get to that in a little bit about this about this weight. Because weight, when it's weight, and the weight is on, when the pressure's on you, you're going to sweat a little bit. Because you know, because I want to make sure I speak right about him. Remember, because it's not in me. It's in his word. I mean, I want to make sure I speak right on what I'm saying. We don't want to be misleading or be mistaken. So it also goes to another Greek word is G3313 is merlos. So y'all got homework to do. Y'all can go check it out for yourself. It also means to wander from the law of God, violate God's laws, sin. For sure, we don't want to get in that spot. Not even close. Because when you get in that spot, where you start violating his laws, you'll do anything. I mean, literally anything. And we're going to see that. So let's go back to this weight. There was a word in there, and the weight was called bulging. Bulging from a load means when a material, like a container or a structure component, starts to deform and protrude outwards due to excessive pressure or weight placed upon it. This is what happens when you get. That's why he says lay aside all this weight, because why? You get something that's heavy, and your leg. Your first thing you want to give out is your support, your legs. And then you can't go to the very next verse because it says to run the race with patience. You can't run when there's a load on you. That's why we have to put it aside. We learned this a couple weeks ago. That's why I said this is a little gleaning process here. Pressure or weight, the primary cause of bulging is an excessive force applied to the material, causing it to expand beyond its normal shape. Now, I was told today that, man, I see you driving and you're still kind of poking. Don't think bulging in this area. I don't want to tell you who he is tonight. I said, but that's because I got big clothes on. I said, but look, it's okay. Bulging at some point is good. But this weight here that's going to cause you to err from the truth, this bulging is not good. So, hey, I might be. Round is a shape, if you want to look at it. Another thing it causes is deformation. They say when a material bulges, it is undergoing a physical deformation where its surface curves outwards. How many know Yeshua went through this pressure when he was in the garden? This weight was upon him. And did he take it spiritually? Yeah. And also physical. Look, there's so much weight placed on him. When he was beaten, where his life was just about out of him, can you imagine the swelling? From not just from the crown of thorns. The scriptures say they beat him with his fist. Think about it. in the spirit. Did Yosef go through any of these things? Can you imagine 13 years as a teenager getting stripped from your house? You don't think that was weighed upon him? This is beautiful right here in Hebrews chapter 12 when I was going through it. Potential of failure. If the load is too great, the bulging can lead to a structure failure, like a container bursting or pipe rupturing. Scripture says his sweat became as drops of blood. So we want to know what the weight is. Just got to look at not only the life of Yosef, who's a model. Remember, he's the model. The type of our master who went through all these definitions of what weight is. We think we know, but we really don't know, because there's going to be a verse in here I want to point out. It says, looking to the prince and perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, having despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who endured such opposition from sinners against himself. I mean, you know, there was even some of his, you're going to see here in another verse of scripture I'm going to point out, they still didn't believe him. His own followers. From sinners against him, lest you become weary and faint in your lives. This is what this verse 4 was a catchy verse to me, because I had to go look this up. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What is that? When I read that, I was like, what is that? I don't even know what this is. I'm reading something, I don't know what it is. So I have to sit there and ask that about, what is this? I got to Google it. I got to search this out. And the best I can explain it to you is basically when your life is on the line. Go do your research on it. Our faith hadn't really been tested yet. Are we getting in that area? Could this be the last time of the end that we're looking at? Because remember, this chapter is coming to an end. And the scripture says that the good years are coming to an end. What if these are our last good years? That you really, the pressure of the world really start affecting us. And we can't gather here. You'd be like I was over there in Morgan City by yourself. Now, we felt a little bit of that during COVID, and through technology, we were able to stay connected. But what if that's no more? You talk about pressure on there when you can't call a pastor. This, like I said, this is much bigger than what we, if we had to slow down and really start to dive into the Word, because it gets really eye-catching. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Basically, your life's on the line. What are you going to do when you faced, when death is standing next to you? Are we going to have the guts to still go with him? That's what the scripture is asking for from you. And you have forgotten the appeal which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yehovah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. And you know, we need reproving. Look, I need reproving. This is not a one time and done. This is a daily living in our lives that we have to walk with him. And I know we said it before. We want to walk so close to our master. What a dust, the Pouchin, if we say it in French, get on us. That's how close we really need to be there in the time and age in which we're going into, in the era, this new generation, this new age that's coming. Are we prepared? For Yehovah loves, for whom he loves, for whom Yehovah loves, he disciplines and flogs every son whom he receives. And you know that it's his way. He makes the choice. We have to be okay. So whatever he sends our way, whatever he said before, he said, I wouldn't put no more on you that you can't bear. That means you're going to have weight on us. If you endure discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? That's a very good question. If you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, I've been there. then you are illegitimate and not sons.
You know what time? I was illegitimate.
I don't want to give you the King James Version on it because some words are pretty strong. Some people get offensive.
That's what it says.
Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? He's given us life. He's taken away our old life. He's canceled out our debt. What? I've heard it said before, there's nothing in my past that I want to go back to. There's nothing I want to go back to. It only brought death. It only brought me trouble. For they indeed in discipline us for a few days as seemed best to them. But he does it for our profit so that we might share in his apartness. And you know why? Because he's set apart. I want to share in that set apart. I want to be with him one day. And I'm sure that should be your goal, your testimony, to be with the master forever. Can you imagine that day coming? Well, we have to run with patience, scripture says. Now, not just run with patience, because this is not a sprint. This is in for the long haul. You know, there's some age in here that been in here longer than when I'm old. And they're still in there. They're still hanging on. That's a blessing. To be in here that long and you're that much closer to the master. And indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is what this is a really good go-to verse. This is what we come here every Shabbat to be trained, because we have to be. If not, because we're wild. I don't know about anybody else here, but I'm gonna speak for me. I was wild. I had to be trained. Even what I thought I knew, I didn't know. That's why you go to school, to be trained, to be taught, to be learned. And what a greater teacher than the master himself. His word is laid out beautifully for us. We just have to, with patience, run it. So strengthen the hands which hang down and the weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned aside, but instead be healed. Pursue peace with all and pursue apartness, without which no one shall see the master. We have to pursue peace, for one thing. This is a qualifier that we have to have in our life. It's peace. We have to pursue it. We have to show peace to all mankind. Look, that was a little funny video. I made a funny out of it, me and Brother Chad. There was this white heron and a Muscovy duck was on a log together in this pond. And I guess they were feeding together. But this white heron he didn't want them on the same log. So he was poking at him. Well, because the theme is Eye of the Tiger theme. And he poked at him. And the Muscovy duck he poked at him again. He kind of moved like that. But he did it a couple times too many. And that Muscovy duck just turned around and he jumped on that white heron. And it was all over. The video ends, but you can see the point. He was about to kill him and drown. Well, let me tell you, that even goes for the wild kingdom. I told Brother Chad, you got to pursue peace. If he wanted his life, he should have just left him alone. Well, I'm telling you, you got to go. It's funny, but when you look at it in the word, it's really not. We have to pursue peace. How you say that? Let sleeping dogs lie. If not, you wake up with the fleas. So that's just some saying that we learn in life. As life goes on, I don't go look for trouble. And like I said, you do your best to avoid it. Because why? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what he said. It's not what I'm saying. Besides, I want to see the master. That's the condition. See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Elohim. That's why we lost that in the garden. We've all fall short. We've all sinned and come short. This verse here, and this is what a few mornings ago, this is what kicked me off on this teaching, because I was, like I said, being out of sort, out of town, and not really being routine like I used to. You know, man, I go over there, I was having to get up at 3 in the morning, every morning, to be there for 4. I got home, this is my first week back home, so I was a little lazy all week. But just a few mornings ago, I was laying in bed, and this was in... And you know, your spirit man should always be awake and listening. And this is what I heard as I was laying down resting. Because sometimes, like I said, I wake up during in the morning, and I meditate on the word. I listen to what he wants to speak. Because I knew automatically. Since Sunday last week, I was going to be here tonight speaking. I knew this. Then when Brother Rob texted this morning, I said, "Don't worry about it, brother. I got you covered." I said, "I've been prepping all week." So this was not like I'm being caught off guard. But he said, "See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Elohim, that no root of bitterness." This is what I heard, root of bitterness. What is that? "Springing up causes trouble, by which many become defiled." I mean, you know, we learned a couple weeks ago, some things that's in the past we got to forget about. And this one thing, root of bitterness, you don't think this was in Yosef's life? You don't think this scripture applied to his life? Because remember, he had his firstborn son called to forget. Forget what? All that bitterness he went through, especially from his brothers. Now we're going to look in scripture here a little bit. We're going to point out a couple things that root of bitterness can lead down to. Let me tell you, this is some serious stuff, this root of bitterness. If it gets on you, if we don't learn to turn the other cheek, this root of bitterness getting on you, it'd be tough to make it. Because if we think we're offended now, you might really be offended later. Lest there be anyone who whores or profane like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright. Now, this, look, we're in Hebrew, and we're all the way back to the beginning. Ain't that amazing? "For you know that afterward, when he wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears." I don't, and there comes a time when your tears won't matter no more. We say that, you know, when you get a whipping, your tears ain't made of gold. No, your gold and silver won't matter at this point in time. So, back to this very first verse, the weight and the sin. What is the sin? In my study, in my digging, could it have been hatred or hated? You don't think hate could have been in that Yosef that Yah caused him to forget? Because we're going to see in his bloodline, in his DNA, was hatred involved? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go to Bereshit. This is, like I said, this is all stuff that we learned before. But in Bereshit chapter 4, let's start at verse 3. Let's see if hatred comes into play. Could that possibly be that why God put him in that position and he caused him to forget? Because remember, he's about to, tomorrow in chapter 42, it's going to be the first time Yosef is going to see his brothers in 13, 14, 15 years. What is it, maybe?
What's that?
The first time he see his brothers. It's 22 years. Can you imagine? And what's the last thing? Remember, they threw me in the prison. That's Shimon. I hate that Shimon. Can you imagine that talk he could have been saying? I'm not saying that's the case, but go look for yourself. But in his DNA, you don't think this was in Yosef's DNA? If we go back, we trace the bloodline back. He said it came to be in the course of time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yehovah. Now, it's a story we know very well. And Herbal also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yehovah looked to Herbal and his offering. Now, if you ought to have been here for Midrash, you ought to have caught some of this. Because we talked a little bit about this. He said, but he did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth and his face fell. Why? Because of the weight. Because of deformation. Yah sees the spirit. He can see this in the face of Cain. He says, is it not if you do good, you are to be accepted? And if you do not do good towards the door is a sin. Remember the weight and sin. It didn't say sins in Hebrew. It said the sin. Remember the weight and the sin. Could this have been hatred, been the sin? Because it's saying a sin right here. He said, he is lying, and towards you is his desire. This is what sin is. And you must rule over him. Jehovah is giving clear instructions. Why? Because he loves us. He warns us. He tells. He don't want us to err. and go off the path. He said, and Cain told his brother, told Abel his brother. And it came to be when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Hatred? You don't think that? Look, when you can kill your brother, you hate him. Because the master talks about that. So I'm just saying, could that have been a little, because it, remember, this is in Yosef's DNA. So I thought about that. I said, I guess, I don't know. But to me, the shoe fits. So when the shoe fits, you wear it. That's why his firstborn son, he gave him the Hebrew name. He causes me to forget. Because why? Let me tell you, didn't Yosef have he wouldn't be mad at his brothers after all these years? And didn't he have the power? He's at the right hand of the most powerful man at that time in Mitzrayim. Does he have the power to get rid of him? You can best believe he learned well from the assassin. You don't think he knows how to behead someone? He don't have to get his hands dirty. All you got to do is speak the word. So he was trained not only by Yehovah, he was trained by the assassin. So look, this is broad. I mean, it's just, look, we, like you said, when I listened to the teaching today, minutes turn into hours. But the little time you just put there and just and diagnose. So look, let's catapult from here. I just wanted to point that out. This is what hatred does toward your brother. Now, what does our master fit in that? Well, let's see what he says. I'm glad you asked. In Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And verse 21, I believe it starts. Yeah. Like I said, I know I spoke about this before, but it's just, let's say, we're gleaning tonight. And you know, gleaning is good. He said, you have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. Let me tell you, that Cain's going to have a price to pay one day. He said, but I say to you, whoever is wroth with his brother without a cause shall be liable to judgment. Now, I'm never spoken around that because just because you have a cause don't give you no right. It's not what the scripture is saying. It's how we read it. It's because of our translation. You have no cause. The only one who had a cause. We have no cause. We have no right. And whoever said to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says you fool shall be liable to fire of Gehenna. If then you bring your gift to the slaughter place and there remember that your brother holds whatever against you, leave your gift. Get the plank out of your eye first. Remember, we just heard that last week. Before we want to have aught against our brother, you know, take the plank out. You know, don't worry about the splinter. Leave your gift there before the slaughter place and go first make peace with your brother and then come and offer your gift. You sure? He gives us a perfect pattern on how to get it done. But we got to work on us. Remember, it's the enemy within us. We are our own. This is what we struggle with the most. It's our flesh. We don't know. You don't know better than you. It's the person in us. That's what we have to deal with. Before we want to pull splinters out, which we're good at. We can pull splinters very well. But we got to get the plank out of us first. Amen? It says, be well-minded with your opponent promptly. While you are on the way with him, lest your opponent deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you shall by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, what did we learn last week? I forgave you of your debt. But you can't forgive the next man. So what he did to him, he threw him in prison. Now you're going to stay there until you pay. This is what Yeshua was saying. So I say, this is just a little recap. But this is something that when I'm sitting at home and I let the word minister, this is what comes. You know, but it only comes by we have to spend time with him. We hear this constantly. We have to spend time with him. If not, it's going to be tough. Okay. Let's look at Malachi. I just show you the words of the master. So we're going to kind of jump around because, man, this like I said, it's just so broad. In Malachi, the very first chapter, it says, the message of the word of Yehovah to Yisrael by Malachi. It says, I have loved you, said Yehovah. He said, what he says? He loved us. I know right here he's talking to Yisrael. But he's saying the same thing to us today, because you're a part of Yisrael. He said, I've loved you. But you ask, in what way have you loved us? Really? I tell you what. I was thinking about this today. You know, a lot of times, you know, how last year, I guess maybe around this time or something, a bunch of us were sick. I mean, I got sick going to work. My wife told me, babe, I'm feeling bad. I said, I'm feeling bad going to work. And now we both sick. We can't help out one another. I had to think for Brother Chad can bring us some better, help us out a little bit. Well, look, we was in rough shape. But I'm so thankful so far, you know, and this is not no way of bragging, but we're halfway through the winter. And look, he said, I'll put these spells far away from you. I have to dwell, because my security is in him. Because me and my wife, we were talking how we don't have any hospitalization. We have to rely on him. And so what else are you going to rely on? It's only him that we have to put our trust in. So I'm so thankful, for one thing, for my health. If I receive nothing else, I'm thankful for my health. And don't think bulging. Because I know I'm getting a little side eye. Yeah, he's thankful for his health, all right. He said, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Yaakov's brother, declares Yehovah? And I love Yaakov, verse 3, but I've hated Esau. Really? Yah hates? Is that what the scripture is saying to us? Is that how we read it because we read English? And have laid waste his mountains and his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. If Edom says, we have been beaten down, let us return and build the ruins. Yehovah says, thus, let them build, but I tear down. You can do what you want on your own, but he has the final say. And they shall be called border of wrongness, and the people against whom Yehovah is enraged forever. Why? Because they won't change. This is what he's saying. He don't hate Esau as a person, but he knows Esau's life in his DNA. He sees, y'all knows what we don't know. We only read off the pages of what's been handed down to us. He don't hate nobody, but he hates that sin that's in him that they refuse to change over and over when he gives chances. He gives opportunity. Esau had opportunity. When he was growing up, his daddy was teaching. He had the opportunity. But when he got of age, when he thinks he can do it on his own. We've all been there. That's why the border of wrongness. Why? Because once the border of Israel, the scripture tells us that. And your eyes shall see and you shall say, great is Yehovah beyond the border of Israel. Beyond that border, outside of him, that's chaos. You know, I know he's talking about in here. If you look at the map, if you look at what's beyond the border, there's a lot of chaos around Israel. And what they want, what they're fighting over, who's brothers? Brothers against brothers. That's what I shared with one of the guys at work. You know, the sad part about all this fighting that's going on, you know, in history tells us it's brother against brother. This is what it's pointing down to. Because Esau, what, in his DNA, what he wanted to do, yeah, if it wouldn't have been for the hand of Yehovah, he would have killed Yaakov, his brother. We learned that. Trust me, when Yaakov wrestled with that himself, and when he was going to face Esau, because he still had to face, Esau was coming with 400 men. You greet your brother with 400 men? You don't need that many men. Esau was taking them single-handedly. He was a fighter. He was a man's man. But his heart condition was bad. Wouldn't change. This is why Yehovah says he hates that. He hates when your heart won't change, when he's trying to do all he can to help you. I don't know if that's proper English, or he can. Proper English. Sometimes it's the way it comes out. I'm sorry. But he does. He goes far and beyond. We have to recognize when he's speaking, when he's trying to get you to settle down and slow down. And let's look at the word as a whole, not just as a piece. I know we're piecing together tonight because of time. But he says he hated Esau. Man. But is that what's really what he's saying? Well, let's go to Romans. Romans 9.
I'm going to start around verse 11.
You always want to read the whole thing, but you got to go back and look at it for yourself. But this is what we're going to find out. Does Yehovah really hate Esau?
We'll see.
Yet before they were born or had done any good or evil, in order that the purpose of Elohim, according to choice, might stand. Remember, he does the picking and the selecting and the separating and the dividing. He does all that. We have to be okay with it. Not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the greater shall serve the lesser. As it has been written, Yaakov I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. He answers his own question. There's no unrighteousness in Elohim. But if we read it that way, if we don't spend time in the scripture, that's what we're going to take it. Then it may seem like Elohim is unrighteous. He's a righteous El. He gives chances over and over. I know. Now I'm living proof. For one. Maybe there's a time in your life you might know when he gave you a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance. We have to make the best of it. We don't want to hide our talent anymore. We don't want to be like the one that, oh, Master, I knew you were a hard man, so I hid your talent. He said, what then shall we say? Is there righteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. For he says to Moshe, I shall have favor whom I favor. I shall have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then, it is not of him who is wishing, nor of him who is running, but of Elohim who shows favor. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I have raised you up, to show my power in you, and that my name be declared in all the earth. So then he favors whom he wishes, and he hardens whom he wishes. I'm so glad he's shown favor to you.
It's all to us.
Then you shall say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his counsel? But who are you, old man, to talk back to Elohim? Huh. You know, when we approach him, when they approach Yosef, bow the knee. They were given a command. And the one that didn't paid the price. So how do we come to our Elohim? We have to be humbly. Definitely humble. Humble is definitely the key. Meekness. Because he even said that Yahweh said Moshe was the meekest man on all the earth. That's a prime example. That's why we read about Moshe. And it won't be long. We'll be getting into him. But we have to learn from my example that's laid out for us. Shall that which is formed say to him, who formed it? Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for value and another not for value? It's all by his choice. We just have to be okay with his decision. And sometimes it don't rub us right. Because we always have the why questions. He just asked, who are we to talk back to him? If Elohim is designed to show wrath and to make his power known, with much patience, tolerance, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known his riches of his esteem on vessels of compassion, which he had prepared beforehand for esteem. Let me tell you, this is very good. Even whom he called, not only us of the Yehudim, but also of the nations. And you know, when you go into these nations, this is why Ephraim, he's known as the nations. You learn about, as you start digging into the life of Ephraim. He's known about, Yeshua said, I come only, this poor lady came to him because she said, my daughter is vexed, she's possessed with a demon. Can you heal my daughter? He says, what he tells her? He said, I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he wasn't being ugly. He was testing her faith to see where she was. And he, to help her, because she was in need. She was coming to the master. She was humbly coming to the master. Because if anybody had the power to do it, she knew he had the power. So he makes this statement, I come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking about the house of Ephraim. Because remember, they are lost in the world today. And we are product of some of the product of that Ephraim that's sitting here tonight. Because they were scattered all over throughout the nation, throughout the world. Can you imagine 10 boys? They populated the world a lot. And they mixed and mingled with so many people. That's why when you pull up, you go do your DNA chart, you got all these different nationalities. I wonder where it comes from. I'm just saying. Even whom he called, not only us of the Yehudim, but also of the nations. Let me tell you, and he loves Ephraim too, because he talks about it in Hosea. He says in Hosea 2, I shall call them my people, who are not my people. Could that be you and I? And her beloved, who was not beloved. And it came to be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living Elohim. I want to be called a son tonight. Well, you know, we got to go through some stuff. We're going to have some qualification to be a son or a daughter. And Yeshayahu cries out on behalf of Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. Ephraim has a lot of children out there. But Yah says that the remnant, we could be part of that remnant, you and I. This was so encouraging. That's why the message Yeshua delivered is so beautiful. He delivered the message. And we're about to go back to it in just a minute. You're probably wondering where's all this going. Well, we're getting to it. I'm glad you asked. For he is bringing a matter to an end. Uh-oh. And is cutting it short in righteousness, because Yehovah shall cut short the matter on the earth. Now, you can take that however you want. I take that as prophetic that's being spoken here, that time is running out. Tick tock, tick tock. I know you not Facebook tick tock. This is the real tick tock here. Time's running out. The ship is sinking, and we're standing on it playing the music. You're on the wrong boat. Oh boy. And Yeshayahu says before, if Yehovah of hosts had not left us a seed, we would have been like Sidon and would have been made like Amorah. We learned about that. Mm-hmm. Totally wiped out. Scientists today, they know about where it's at, but they can't specifically say this is the spot. But they got pretty good guess. But they can't accurately put it 100%. You know why? Because Yehovah destroyed it. That's just the final answer. And once he destroys it, there's no trace. You know, how do I know it? Because scripture tells me that. Because when the fire came down on Mount Hermon, with Elijah, the scripture said that the fire came down and it licked up the dust and the water, consumed it all. So that's a whole nother teaching. Back to Genesis 41, because we want to know about this end. Because this seems to be the biggest subject in the world. People are going to be talking about. But back to 41. Let me wrap this up here. Because tomorrow, there's going to be a brand new page we're going to jump onto. And the 7 years of plenty were in the land of Mishraim came to an end. Wow. And you know, tick tock, tick tock. Yosef, I'm so glad that he acted upon the dream. And then Pharaoh, okay, you the man, Yosef. You the man. And the 7 years of scarcity of food began to come, as Yosef had said. And the scarcity of food was in all lands. But in all the land of Mishraim, there was bread. How many of you know when you stick with him, that's going to be bread? But we have to stick with him. Outside, outside of him, that's chaos. Beyond the borders of Israel, that's trouble. I just read it tonight. You can take it how you want, but I'm telling you, that's trouble outside the border. That's why we have a Hebrew letter. It's called the het. And it's a fence. Why? To keep us inside. Don't wander from the path. Don't err, because you will sin. But when there was bread, verse 55, and when all the land of Mitzrayim hungered, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh said to all the Mitzrayim, go to Yosef. Why? Because he's the man in charge right now. He's at the right hand. We know someone who's hiding above you, who's at the right hand. There's going to be a time, look, when he's going to rule, rightly rule. And he's going to be the man in charge. And you won't have to be told, bow the knee. I can promise you. You're going to automatically do it. Do whatever he says to you. Why? Because he had the power and authority. How much did he have? All power, the scripture says, and authority. How would I know that? Because Matthew 28, I'm going to go there in just a minute, but let me finish reading that. And the scarcity of food was all over all the face of the earth. Now, it's really in the Hebrew, the panim of the eretz, the face of the land. But you go do your own homework. And Yosef opened the storehouses and sold to the Mishraites. And the scarcity of food was severe in the land of Mitzrayim. What did Amos say a few weeks ago when I was here? There's going to be a famine for the word. It's going to be scarce. That's why we got to grab hold now. We better. And all the earth came to Yosef in Mitzrayim to buy grain because the scarcity of food was severe in all the land. We haven't seen a scarcity of food yet in our time. I've never laid down. I've ever went to bed hungry because I just refuse. There's always food. There's always something to eat. You got rice, you got a lot of food. Rice go with everything just about. But I've never been in a spot where I'm hungry, where I went to bed hungry. How many of you know this is a serious time in the land of Mitzrayim? And what did he say? What did Pharaoh say? Go to Yosef. Perfect father and son, almost seemed like a son, relationship. But we have a, like I said, this is just the model for us. It was just saying when the day is going to come, when you're going to say, son, go get my children. Well, let's look and see why he says go to Yosef, because do what he says. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. I told you we're going to do some gleaning tonight. This is good stuff. Starting at verse 16. This is after, I want you to know, this is after the resurrection. This is after all the beatings. This is after all the weight, all the pressure. This is our master instructing us. He says, and the 11 taught ones went out into Galilee to the mountain which Yeshua had appointed for them. He appointed for them a mountain. He knows what you need. If he did that for his disciples, don't think he'd do that for us today? Appoint a spot. He told Moshe, there's a spot by me. You can't see my face, but I'm going to put you there. Boy, that's so beautiful. Can you imagine that day in Moshe's life? He says, and when they saw him, they bowed to him, but some doubted. But you see, when they saw him, because why? He's in his new glorified body. He didn't say bow the knee. They automatically. This is what I'm telling you. This is where I get this from. You will automatically bow before the man. Because there'd be no mistaking in this building tonight. When he shows up, we're going to know it is him. We won't be second guessing. Is that him? Because he's going to tell us. We're going to tell him just a little bit what to expect, what to look for. Because why? Everybody wants to know about the end. The end of good is about to be over. That's what we just read here. And the scarcity of food is coming. It's in the land of Mitzrayim. It's coming. But some doubted. How you doubt? After all you've seen what the master went through, you still doubting? This is to me, it's like this verse don't even fit, but it does. Because there's going to be some, even though they see him, they're going to doubt. This is why we He's telling us tonight. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority. How much? All. That's what your Bible says. That's what mine says. All authority has been given to me in the heaven and on earth. He has it all. Where was Joseph? All authority was given. That's why he said, go to Joseph. He'll tell you what to do. You don't want to listen to Joseph? I can't help you. So we have the words of the master right here. If we can't follow the master, who else are we going to listen to? Boy. It says, therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations, of all the Goyim, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the set-apart Spirit. And make taught ones of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and Son and set-apart. Okay, I'm sorry. Teaching them to guard. To do what? To guard? Should we not be guarding his word? We better. That's the only thing, when all else fails, he said, my word will remain. We can't grow enough cabbage and potatoes and broccoli and cauliflower in our garden. You can't catch enough fish to survive. We're going to need his word. All that I have commanded you. Did he command us? Yes. He gave you a commission. At best, me and my wife was talking, at best, you are salt and light to the nation. If you think you have nothing to do because you don't, maybe because you don't teach or because you don't sing, or you're not, you're a leader in his eyes, you're a leader. You're salt and light. At base, you're salt and light to everyone. So you don't think, well, I didn't have a talent. You had a talent. You had one talent. Well, actually, if you put them together, together would be one, but basically you had two talents. What do you do with them? You're salt and light. That's two things. So you are at ground level, so you have no excuse. He said, teaching them to guard all that I've commanded you, and see, I am with you always until the end of the age. How long? Till the end. He's with us. What did he say with Joseph? I'm with you. You're going down to Mitzrayim? I'm with you. You're in the gore? I'm with you. He's with you to the end of the age. Because what are we talking about here? The end of the age. People want to know. Why? Because the good time, look, this could be our last good time with drill, baby, drill. I heard the message. Hey, I'm all for it. Drill, baby, drill. But that's not my hope. Look, I'm with you, but that's not my hope. I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket. I can tell you that. You can do what you want. It all makes for good publicity on TV. I can dare you. But in the end, I want to be here. I want to be trusting right here. What is the end? In Matthew chapter 24, he's going to give us a little something to look at about the end. In verse 1, he said, in going out, Yeshua went away from the set-apart place, and his taught ones came near to point out to him the buildings of the set-apart place. And Yeshua said to them, do you not see all these? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another at all, which shall not be thrown down. And we learned something about that. As I said, this is some gleaning areas. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the taught ones came to him separately, saying, say to us, when shall this be? What is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? It looks like one big long question. We're asking three questions in one sentence. Because everybody wants to know, what is the end of the age? And we're going to be, as many times we are, we're going to be well-versed in what we hear about the master. Because there's no other word that I want to trust in the end of the age. Because he just said, he'll be with me. I'm going to trust him, take him at his word. He's with me. No matter what happens, I have to go with him. And Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. Because there's going to be some misleading. That's what, especially if you err from off the path, there's going to be some misleading. Because you're going to say, what did he say? You'd be dumbfounded. You'd be like that sheep that just got pulled out the pit. In the little video, and he was so happy, he jumped around. He jumped right back in the ditch, in the pit. The man got to go pull him out again. Really? We don't want to be like that. We want to learn. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall lead many astray. Many. Why? Many of the tribe of Ephraim, because they represent the nation of Israel. Many of them are going to be led astray. This is why we have to come here. This is why we have to spend time with Him. We have to love Him. First of all, you have to love His Word. That's point blank. If you don't love His Word, you'll throw whatever you hear tonight, you'll throw it out the window. We have to love His Word. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. And you shall begin to hear of fightings. Are we hearing about that? Big time right now. And reports of fighting. See that you are not troubled. For these have to take place, but the end is not yet. Oh boy, how you say that? You might not hear the train, but you can smell the smoke. For the nation shall rise against nation, and rain against rain, and there shall be scarcity of food and deadly diseases and earthquake in places. That's what made me think the other day about, you know, how good we walk in health, my wife and I, because of these verses right here, because we have to put our trust in Him. And if we're so happy with His sickness, we still give Him thanks. Because remember, we're going to go through some stuff. We're not exempt. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. This is where this next verse is going to fit in with that Hebrews account that I just read. It says, and they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You remember that verse in Hebrew where you're talking about your life is on the line? That blood, you never resisted the blood because of the sin? Does it go? This ties into this verse. Because why? Your life is truly on the line. When you say, I'm with Him, do we really mean it? The question is, do we really mean it? It's easy to say, I'm with you. I'm with you, brother. Do you really mean it? Because let me tell you, your life may depend on it. The life of your loved one. The life of our offspring. Think about it. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. Man, this is going to be tough. This is no, the scarcity of food is gone. This is the tough times now. We should be well prepared. Because we've been talking about it's coming. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many become cold. And well, we know what cold is. Look, I told my mom, I shared my mom and them a video just the other day. But I had a chance to talk with her. But you can tell when, you know, they don't really want to talk about it. Because there's no way possible you could be right or could be wrong. I said, but do you really think the shepherds were outside last night in all this cold and snow watching over their flocks? I said, don't you see how the narrative just don't fit? I said, you know what really fits though? What if they did it in a time when they were out there during the breeding season? That's why maybe one day we're watching over their flock. You see how did, so we can't whittle the puzzle. But anyway, it was a long, but they really kind of didn't want to follow the script. But I showed them a nice video, so a guy that was posted it. It makes so much sense to what he said, because he talks about that. So, but anyway, because I can show you, nobody else wanted to be outside, not tonight, not last night, not night before. And I'm going to tell you, it gets cold in Israel. During their winter month, they get cold, they get snow out there. Anyway, this is what he's talking about. Love of me, it become cold. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. We have to run with patience. I can tell you, because it's a journey. It ain't, look, I don't know what more can we say. That we constantly say it all the time. We're not deviating. We're saying it just now. We're looking much carefully at it. And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations. You're a witness. You're a light. And then the end shall come. That's when it's coming. Say, but when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken by Daniel the prophet, set up in a set apart place, he who reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Yehuda flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop, not come down to take whatever out of the house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garments. And woe to them who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing children in those days. And pray that your flight does not take place in winter,
because it's very, very cold out there,
or on the Sabbath. For then there shall be great distress, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Famine.
Bad, very bad.
And in those days, and if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the sake of the chosen ones.
This is why you're here tonight.
Those days shall be shortened. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe. For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. Even you and I, if we're not rooted and grounded in His Word. We have to love His Word.
We have to fall in love with truth.
See, I have forewarned you. This is what the Master said. It's not what I'm saying. These are not my words. Remember what Yosef said? It's not in me. He said, I forewarned you. These things are going to happen if we don't take this serious enough. So if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There won't be no mistaking. For wherever the dead body is, there the vultures shall be gathered. And immediately,
I love that word.
After the distress, that's an amen over there. Thank you, Casey. Of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Why? Because you know who's coming. We're going to hit tomorrow morning. We're going to hit a shofar blow, because that's what you're going to hear. It's going to ring so loud, it's going to wake up the dead, the scripture says. Boy, you talking about blowing? And then the sign of the Son of Adam. Why? Because he's the one in charge. He's the one that's coming. Shall appear in the heavens, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Adam coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and much esteem. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to one of the earth, one of the end of the heavens to the other. Wow. That's when the end's going to come. But look, let me tell you, this is so beautiful in the Word, in the Scripture tonight. You know, if we just take time and look at carefully at our Master. But look, the end is near. I don't know how much time. I'm not putting a time limit. But can it happen next year? Can it happen this year? Can it happen after these 4 years? Look, I don't know. But we should always be prepared. One thing I told Brother Rob and Brother Chad, I said, no matter who's speaking, one of us, we should always be prepared. Doesn't matter where. If I'm over there, I have an assignment. We all have assignments. We should, look, it don't have to be an hour long. If it's 30 minutes long, it's your assignment. You know, we should not be coming here and not wondering if I got something to say. Shame on me. You just buried your talent. That's all we do. So that is all I had for tonight. I hope I didn't bore y'all. This stuff ministered to me. You know, I try to go as slow as possible. I really do, but I'm going to tell you. Speaking about Yehovah is exciting. Well, let me tell you, the word in the Hebrew is H3615. It's called Halah. In the Greek is G4930. Sunteleia. It's come from G4931 Sunteleo. From G4862, soon. I thought that was interesting. I got the word soon right there. From G5055, teleo is what I'm doing tonight. I'm telling all of you. And from G5056, tell us. I'm telling all of us tonight. He's coming back. Get ready. So, anyway, I just thought, you know, sometimes the way you say it, it sounds funny, almost like you're saying a word, but I just want to say that His Word is beautiful. And we, you know, gleaning from His Word, gleaning is a good thing. Ruth gleaned behind the reapers. Look, I don't mind gleaning behind the reapers. Whether you're in front of them, whether you're on the wrong side of them, or behind them, you're in a good spot anyway. Amen?